This week, we've offered you a variety of conversations about women and non-traditional paths to power. We're going to end our series in conversation with someone who's been talking about sex and power for 3 decades, Zariera Hollander. A former prostitute, her memoir, The Happy Hooker, My Own Story, sold 15 million copies back in the day. Now she runs a bed and breakfast in Amsterdam. That's right, a bed and breakfast. She's speaking to us now from her other home in Spain. Zariera Hollander, how are you?
Very well, very rested. As we have in Spain, siestas around this hour. I'm all ready for you.
Okay, I hope so.
And your public.
So tell us, what were you so happy about back then?
Well, I was happy to, do something that I've always liked, which was sex. I enjoyed sex without being a nymphomaniac. B, getting paid for something I've been doing for years for free. And C, get from most of my clients more respect in a business manner, because it is a business, that I got as the easy girl, you know, the easy lady, hoping to find Mr. Right.
You actually felt more respect as a prostitute than you did as just a girl about town.
Yeah, because I was then the one setting the rules. I was going to say, okay, you, I don't like you. I don't like your attitude. I don't want you to complain about your wife, which most men do. My wife, oh, she's dead as a starfish. Whereas when I would actually go to bed with him, it was their fault, you know. I'd say, look, there's no such thing, in my opinion, as a frigid woman, but basically that of a lousy lover. And unlike most hookers, I would say, no, you're a lousy lover. Let me teach you something.
I don't know whether you consider yourself a feminist or not, but I wonder whether you ever considered that you were disloyal to other women, that you were allowing men to escape their obligations to their wives or to their constant partners by giving them an escape rather than working with their partners on whatever their issues were.
Yeah, well, I wasn't that much of a feminist at that. But after the book came out, in fact, the organization Now, I believe, right, that was a women's, has asked me several times to give speeches because it's also their own choice. I mean, you don't have to work for me. You don't have to work for a madam. A lot of women made a lot more money in prostitution in a very short time than those who were typists or even models. And it's not always bad, the business. So if you happen to like sex, you know, some of them hated sex, but the girls that I had working for me were actually quite positive, and I didn't have many discrepancies in a way.
I just wanted to tell you about a conversation that we had yesterday with a woman from South Africa. She's a former sex worker, former prostitute, and a madam in South Africa. There's a recommendation there by the police commissioner to legalize prostitution, at least in time for World Cup. And this is what she said.
The nature of the business itself is violent. Mm-hmm. The nature of the business itself is dehumanizing and degrading. No person should be subject to doing that for money. The nature of the business is such that if you're going for a swim, you're going to get wet. If you're going to be a prostitute, you are going to be damaged.
That was a lady named Debbie Tui. And as I said, she's a former prostitute and madam in South Africa. She's horrified by the idea of legalizing prostitution. She feels that just inevitably this degrades women and often children is her other concern. What do you say to that?
Well, maybe it's because I live in Holland in the days that I was in America, I'd never even thought of being a prostitute, of course, because I was a secretary and I had become the best secretary of Holland, but I got such lousy salaries and I had what you call a champagne taste and a beer budget. So I was in a way glad that I finally made enough money in a different business where I could actually make a trip here and there or go and gamble at the casinos. It enabled me to make a lot more money and have a lot more fun, and also meet a lot of interesting people. I was lucky. I had very wealthy clients. I had movie stars. I had film directors. I can write a book just with their stories. Because the amazing thing was, when a man is naked in front of a prostitute, he loses all his facade. You know, there are also men who wanted to be dominated by women. It's not at all that women get dominated by men.
Do you think that your experience was the norm?
No, of course not. That much I realize. You know, I don't think many men would gladly say to their parents, hey, mom, here, meet Zariera. She's a hooker. No, I knew that kind of life was not meant for me to be. I mean, and I also, most prostitutes don't make very good housewives.
But your clientele were wealthy, public, famous people, by your accounting, who had reason to fear exposure and perhaps, I would guess, had some reason to regulate their behavior. Isn't the experience of many women in the sex trade one of violence? Why is it that you seem to have been able to practice this profession without being harmed by it, without being hurt, without being beaten up? That's not the experience most women have, is it?
No, you're right. Okay, I think the word is class. You know, if you have a bit of class, which I think I have a lot of, I had a good background. My father was a psychiatrist, so I knew all about people. And within almost a look or 10 words, I knew what kind of people I had.
I want to talk a little bit more about this whole question of legalizing prostitution. You wrote in your book that since the beginning of time, no government has ever stopped prostitution because men want it. But what about what women want? I mean, isn't it just indicative of the fact that there's a power imbalance in society with men holding most of it?
Yeah, that may be true there's what you call a hooker hierarchy. There's a time and place for everything. In Holland, you have the red light district, and a lot of girls there are being, maybe not so much now anymore, but they're being sort of run by their pimps. Some of them are real white slaves. They've been sort of kidnapped from other countries and taken a passport away. But I could never be categorized in that group of hookers. Then you have the mistresses, and you have the girls that work for official brothels, very elegant ones sometimes, they make a lot of money. And then you have the independent call girls who advertise, and nowadays through the internet, of course. But you also have the girls on the street, and they are the ones that are most vulnerable, and those are the sad ones, and those are girls who never get out of the business. And there's nothing more pathetic than an aging hooker. When the looks go down, the prices go down.
I wanted to see if I can get you, though, to think about this question of power and how women should try to gain power and use it. I mean, when you were writing and when you were working as a prostitute, you know, there were no women secretaries of state as we have now. We have had two in the United States.
Yeah.
There are, you know, the chancellor of Germany is a woman. There's a woman who's a serious candidate for president of the United States. There just weren't as many women in positions of sort of traditional influence, okay,
yeah,
when you were sort of coming along. So I wonder now, given that more women are, you know, in law school, medical school, and practicing the professions and doing all these things, do you feel it's still legitimate for women to use sexuality as a means to gain power or not?
No, I don't. Times have changed. I'm talking about 30, 40 years later now. You know, I've skipped two generations. I'm far removed from prostitution. I still get the questions about sex. It is sad that a lot of people that are living or married to an interesting, dominant businesswoman, a career woman, there is not much space for them. You know, do you think they have time for their husband?
I'm still fascinated by this. You have so much sympathy for high-powered men who are doing whatever they're doing outside of their relationships. You seem to have very little tolerance for high-powered women.
They can be great, but they can destroy the egos of their men. I'm almost for man's liberation. Why should we always be women's liberals? I think women have made it for themselves now, and I feel sorry for the men.
And you're completely objective about this, but we appreciate that. Well, Javier, we're down to our last minute, so I just wondered if you think you were starting over today as a young woman back in New York. You said you were a secretary, just a woman, you know, starting your career in a big city. Do you think that you still would have or would choose prostitution as a way to advance yourself?
No way. I mean, the whole start of AIDS got me. I stopped writing books about sex with AIDS. I'm not a prude, but I certainly don't want to say, oh, it's so much fun to have sex or get paid for it. No. It was a lot more fun and safe in the days of the happy hooker. I'd rather stick to selling beds at the Bed and Breakfast in Amsterdam.
And offering advice?
I've written advice column for Penthouse for 35 years. But that was a bit one-sided. That was more for a male audience, and I don't do that anymore.
But they're making
a musical of my life now. Now, that should be fun, and that's called Love, Zavira, in Dutch. I never sit still. I reinvent myself every few years, and that's what keeps me young. I'm 64 years young. And I'm having a great time still.
Javier Hollander currently runs a bed and breakfast in Amsterdam, Holland. She's the author of The Happy Hooker, My Own Story. Javier, thanks for speaking with us.
Okay, was a pleasure. Bye.
You can find a link to learn more about her at our website, npr.org/tellmemore.